ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य हरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ॐ ज्ञानति निरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्याय नाम्ने गौरद्विजे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं भक्तशक्तिकम् हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त श्रीराधा कान्त नमोऽस्तु ते कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
of all, I would like to take the blessings of all the assembled devotees. This is the first time I've been invited to make a presentation here. It's my great pleasure to be here. So today, we will discuss briefly on the third canto, Vidura's prayers to Maitreya. This is third canto, I think chapter number 3 or 4. So the Vidura is approaching Maitreya Rishi and he is asking questions. This is chapter number 4 on the third canto. So the first 16 verses and how those verses flow, I would like to discuss. So text 1 is an introduction to Vidura's qualities, or who is Vidura. Text 2, 3 and 4 is how does he hear? How does Vidura hear from Maitreya, or how he would like to hear, in what mood? Then text 5 to 9 is what? What does Vidura-ji want to hear? Text 10 to 13 is why? Or why does he want to hear what he wants to hear? And as part of this, we will discuss 6 benefits of hearing Krishna Katha. Oh, this is chapter 5? Okay, check it out. Yeah. So that's Vidura talks with Maitreya? Okay. This is chapter 5. This is chapter 5, canto 3. And the text 12 and 14 would be an example of the power of Srimad Bhagavatam, or the benefits which have been described. So actually 10, 11 and 13 discusses 6 benefits of hearing. Text and 12 and 14 give an example to substantiate this. Text 15 is the conclusion, and text 16 is Vidura is explaining which section or which pastime he likes to hear or he would like to hear. So Bhagavatam describes the 11th canto, Paraspara kathanam pavanam bhagavat yashan nitharati nitartushti nivritta nitha atmanam. So when devotees discuss amongst themselves harikatha, paraspara kathanam, when there is harikatha discussion between two parties, then pavanam, it is very very purifying, bhagavat yashan, and nitharati, both parties experience great taste, and mitha tushti, great satisfaction, and nivritta mithatma. And in this way, one becomes completely free from all kinds of miserable conditions. And so this word mitha is very important, because an activity performed between two parties in Sanskrit is mitha. From that comes maithun, or sex life. And so, in order to counteract the powerful shackles of sex desire, or maithuna agar, one has to develop a higher taste in terms of mitharati mitharadushti, a higher satisfaction, a higher taste in hearing and chanting harikatha is the only way by which the lower taste of sex desire can be counteracted. And therefore, although all of these literatures are available, so when we sit and discuss, we experience a good taste over a period of time. And as in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya are glorifying Srila Sutta Goswami. In the first few verses when they speak, they are establishing Sutta Goswami's qualification to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. And among the very first qualifications they describe त्वया खलु पुराणानि सेतिहासानि चानघ आख्यातान्यपि अधीतानि धर्मशास्त्राणि यानि तु. They say, my dear Sutta Goswami, you are perfectly qualified to sit and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with us because, number one, you are anagha, you are sinless. And secondly, and more importantly, you have assimilated the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You have assimilated the essence of all the other Vedic scriptures. Tvaya khalu puranani itihasani dharmashastrani. The puranas, itihasas, dharmashastras. You have understood the essence of all of that. How? By what process? Akhyatani api adhitani dharmashastrani yanyutan. By hearing and explaining. Hearing and explaining. So Srila Prabhupada explains, mentions in the purport, that hearing and explaining is more important than even reading. That means this Srimad Bhagavatam, or the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, can be understood, assimilated by having a submissive attitude of service and at the same time also speaking it, explaining it. And in this way, when devotees come together and hear and chant the Srimad Bhagavatam, they experience great taste. And therefore, in this verse, it is described like this. So actually, when Vidura is asking this question to Maitreya, and then subsequently when Maitreyaji will start speaking, he mentions a very beautiful verse where he is describing in what mood he is going to explain things to Viduji. And he says that as far as I am concerned, I may not be so qualified, but I am speaking for my purification. Right? And he describes that I am speaking according to yathadhitam yathamati. Yathamati yathashrutam. Kirtim hare swam satkartum giram anyabhidasati. So in this way he says, yatha shrutam and yatha mati. Vedic scriptures are unlimited. We have access only to a short range of those scriptures. And even the scriptures we have access to, we are able to study only a small part of that. So that is yatha shrutam. And then out of the scriptures we study, the books we read, we are able to remember and assimilate only a small fraction and percentage of that. So that is yathamati. So we are all constrained in so many ways. So therefore, Maitreji is saying, yathashrutam, yathamati yathashrutam, kirtim hare swam satkartum, but I will still speak harikatha to you, my dear Vidura, and answer your queries. Describe Krishna's pastimes to you. For what purpose? Kirtim hare swam satkartum. In order to purify myself. Satkartum. Giram anyabhida asatim. Otherwise, my words, giram, will become asatim or unchaste. Therefore, the tongue is like a prostitute, and it can vibrate so many vibrations. The tongue is meant to glorify Krishna. So if the tongue is not engaged in glorifying Krishna, the ears are not engaged in hearing about Krishna, then that tendency is called asati. That is unchaste. Therefore, Maitreya is very humbly saying that I am making this presentation, I am speaking this Krishna katha, not because I am very highly realized, or because I am better than you. But I am just speaking so that I can purify myself. Otherwise, in this period of time, my tongue will be vibrating other nonsensical, mundane vibrations. So simply for my own purification, I am doing this. And therefore, just like we chant Hare Krishna every day, 16 rounds, a stipulated number of rounds. So we can also, it's an interesting practice, to also keep a stipulated period of time for speaking Harikatha, either to devotees or to outsiders as preaching or whatever. Just like we chant for say 2 hours, so we may keep a practice of speaking 2 hours every day or 1 hour every day. And then that gives us a very good understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam and also gives us a lot of wonderful realizations. And as Bhaktitirtha Maharaj was explaining in one of his presentations, that we remember only 10% of what we hear, and 20% of what we read, and 30% of what we see also, and then hear, and 40% of what we discuss, you know, and so on and so forth, 50, 60, 70, and so we remember 90% of what we have to speak. So therefore, in order to study Srimad Bhagavatam, this is also a very nice practice. And so when both parties engage in this hearing and chanting, speaking and hearing, then everyone benefits. And no one is free from this desire. And Vidura, all of us know, is actually Yamaraj. And as Yamaraj, he is engaged in the heaviest management activity we can ever imagine. And therefore, even Yamaraj, he likes to take a break. And therefore, situations are arranged in such a way that Yamaraj can actually come down in the form of Vidura and sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Maitreya. And that is Yamaraj's VIH going on here. You know, Maitreya and Vidura sitting. So he's a hardcore manager in Krishna's cosmic affairs. Ruthless, completely, you know, he's dealing with so many Yamadutas. Constantly engrossed in giving justice, right? But then, as another verse in the first canto says, that Martyanam iharekshatam iho pabhuta bhagavan mrityu shamitra karmani. The sages of Naimisharanya are telling Sutta Goswami, this is the safest place in the whole universe because we are completely immune from death because we have invited Yamaraj also in this assembly. So he also likes to hear Harikatha. So therefore Yamaraj is taking this full opportunity, and as Vidura also he had to engage in a lot of managerial activities because he was a minister and he had to take a lot of decisions, give a lot of advice, completely involved in politics. But then now he has this opportunity by Krishna's arrangement, right, as in the previous verses it was described that Swayam Dhanurdwari Nidhaya Mayam. So Mayam means Prabhupada gives a purport that he saw this as both Yoga Maya and Ma Maya acting simultaneously. So all Duryodhan kicked him out. He saw the good in this situation. Actually this was the greatest calamity in his life. It was as if his entire life's efforts were a waste. Because his whole life's idea was to protect Hastinapur and give advice and make sure that all the family members are there together. But towards the end of his life, the very throne he served so diligently, the very person whom he tried to protect mercilessly, threw him out, kicked him out. So he could actually be in the greatest depression at this stage in life. And so situations and circumstances are not in our control, even for someone as powerful as Vidura. And he's playing that part of a helpless person, although he's Yamaraj, he has great powers, but he's going along and playing this part, and he's not complaining about it, he's taking it in a positive spirit and accepting the reversals which have taken place in his life as an opportunity to increase hearing and chanting. And so he has come here and is sitting with Maitreya Rishi and coming straight to the subject of how I can hear more about Krishna. He could even be using this time in trying to justify, okay, in what way wrong has been done to me, which party was right, which party was wrong, I didn't deserve this, they should have treated me much better, this was the greatest insult. And it could even have started into a counseling session. But then, Vidura, he just takes this option and it directly starts asking questions about Krishna, and he is interested straight in Krishna Katha, because he realizes that ultimately this is the solution to all the different problems created by the material conditioned mind. And therefore, any discussion on a relative platform of good and bad will ultimately be of no consequence. And so, he takes shelter of Harikatha, of Krishna Katha, of Srimad Bhagavatam. And now, as all of you may have been discussing in the previous sections, I don't know exactly what has been the line of discussion. At this stage, Vidura is approaching Maitreya at the instance of Uddhavji. Uddhavji is expressing to him that he go to Maitreya because that is Maryada, that is a proper etiquette. And so now, it has been described here by Srila Sutta Goswami how Vidura is approaching Maitreya. So the first verse describes Vidura's qualities, right? Or who is Vidura? So basically we are going to discuss who, how, what, why, and kind of a conclusion and Vidura's final question. So let us see how Vidura has been described. Who is Viduraji? Or what is his position? What are his qualifications? So the first verse says, Dwari Dyunadya Rishabhakuruna Maitreya Masina Matad Bodham Kshatto Pasritya Chutabhava Siddha Papricha Saushilya Guna Mitripta. So the place where he is approaching is Haridwar. Dwari. Dwari is the door. Yunadhyā is Gangaji. So Gangaji is flowing through Haridwar and on the banks of the sacred Mother Ganges. Vidura is approaching Maitreya Rishi. Rishabha Kuruna. And he's been described as the best of gurus. Maitreya Masinam Agadha Bodham. So the very great soul, Maitreyam, who's very learned, he's sitting there and Vidura is approaching him. And there are so many gurus. And Vidura is very special. Amongst all of them, Vidura is one person who is one of the great devotees of Lord Krishna. All through the pastime of Mahabharata, he was always very loyal to Krishna and devoted to the Pandavas. And so Krishna, rather than visiting Duryodhana's home, visited Vidura's home. So Vidura is well known as a great devotee. Of course, from his past life or from the other role which he plays as Yamaraj, he is one of the 12 Mahajans. So there is no doubt about that. So because of his devotional qualities, he is always glorified. And especially someone like Sutta Goswami, he will only glorify someone who is a great devotee. So he is the best amongst the gurus. And what is his devotional qualification? He is saying, Kshatto Pasritya Chutabhava Siddha. So he is the best amongst the gurus, he is a great Vaishnav. Achyutabhava Siddha. Achyutabhava Siddha means he had perfected his Krishna consciousness. So he was situated in devotional service, Achyutabhava. And Siddha. Siddha means he was perfect. And this shows that Vidura was a great soul, a great Vaishnav, and he is approaching the great fathomless sage Maitreya, right, whose knowledge, his realization was deep, was great. And Papricha Achyuta Bhava Siddha, although he is perfected in devotional service, he is not practicing to become perfect. But Srila Prabhupada is explaining, he is Achyuta Bhava Siddha, means he is perfect in devotional service. But still we can understand that a preacher is asking. He is asking, he is inquiring. So the process of inquiring never ends. The process of hearing Krishna Katha never ends. The process of approaching great souls and hearing from them never ends. Therefore, we can understand that how important it is to hear from great spiritual authorities. So devotees always take pleasure in Krishna Katha and they are always seeking an opportunity to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And at no stage can anyone think that I am beyond the necessity, it's beyond the requirement that I should sit and hear or read Srila Prabhupada's books. At all stages we need to take shelter of Hari Katha. And so as a perfected soul, his consciousness is at a stage where he is experiencing great transcendental ecstasy, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And from this, his humility is being portrayed. Anyone approaching someone to hear from him in humble submission, we can see in the next verse how he will approach with a very humble prayer to Maitreya Rishi. And so how can anyone know that Vidura is Achyuta Bhava Siddha? Right. Because there are so many people who are claiming to be Siddhas, who may claim that we are Siddha, we are perfect, or who may disclaim that Vidura was not actually Siddha. So immediately, the last two words of the verse he says, Papricha Saushilya Guna Vitripta. So he was perfectly satisfied in transcendence and perfect in gentleness. Saushilya. Saushilya means he was having nice Vaishnava qualities. Sushil. Right? He was having qualities, and by these qualities one can understand that yes, he was a great soul. Saushilya. And secondly, gunadhitripta. In transcendence. Right? So in this way, because of these qualities, one can very well understand that here was a personality who was not ordinary, he was a great soul, he was Achyuta Bhava Siddha. Now we go to the second verse, and in the second, third and fourth verse, Vidura is explaining the mood in which one should approach a great soul, and is demonstrating by his own example. Now he is Achyuta Bhava Siddha, he is one of the Mahajans, he is Yamaraj himself. But just see the humility with which he is approaching and he is putting forward these questions. So in 2, 3 and 4, he is actually going through a typical system which any student should follow when he is approaching a master. He is establishing a potential difference. He is establishing a gradient. Just like electricity flows from higher voltage to lower voltage, or water flows from a higher potential of gravity to a lower potential of gravity. Similarly, knowledge also flows from higher to lower, in the sense that someone has having more knowledge, the knowledge flows down to someone having less knowledge. So therefore, it is the duty of a student to approach a spiritual authority or a teacher and establish that gradient, establish that difference. And practically, if you analyze these kind of situations in throughout Srimad Bhagavatam or in other literatures, you will always find. And in fact, we can do an exercise where you can give so many examples of so many great personalities approaching a guru or approaching a great spiritual authority and then going through this same three-step formula. So the first step is they establish I am fallen. The second step, or step two, is they establish how you as a spiritual authority are great. That means they establish that I am poverty stricken, you are rich, and third step is let a transaction take place. Right? So the transaction always flows between someone who is rich to someone who is poor, someone who is higher to someone who is lower, someone who is great to someone who is fallen. So therefore, this difference is now being established in verse 2, 3 and 4. So in verse 2, Vidura will explain his fallen. In verse 3, he will glorify Maitreya of his great. And in verse 4, he will request that therefore, may that knowledge which is there within your heart flow from you to me. Right? So in verse 2, he is explaining his condition. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukham vanya uparaham va vindeta bhuya tata eva dukham yanatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. He's explaining how his condition is very foreign. In one sense, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that actually Vidura could have asked any question of advanced topics to Krishna, but he's just putting forward some queries about the kind of problems which materialistic people go through, about fruitive activities and something very general. And Prabhupada explains that out of his natural humility, Vidura is asking a subject which is of interest to the common man. So this particular verse is actually expressing Vidura's humility and how he is considering himself to be just like another common man. Otherwise, Vidura is described in the previous verse as Achyuta Bhava Siddha. If he is a Siddha, he could be interested in topics like Siddha Deha or Siddha Pranali and higher topics like that. Here is a bona fide Achyuta Bhava Siddha. So even those who are Siddhas, they do discuss about topics which are related to the problems of the common man. And therefore, how can anyone claim that after a certain stage one should only discuss higher topics? Here is Achyuta Bhava Siddha, and he is asking questions on the nature of fruitive activities and how happiness and distress in this material world are related. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. Generally, people of this world have this nature, he says, Sukhaya karmani. They perform activities, karmani, for what? Sukhaya. 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 For obtaining happiness. Karoti loko. People in this world, they have this tendency. Anything I do is only for the purpose of obtaining some pleasure. But natai sukham vanyat uparamam va. But what do they see? Natai sukham. Two things. I try to obtain happiness, I perform activities to get happiness. But number one, I neither get that happiness. And number two, va anyat uparamam, nor I am able to mitigate or decrease distress. I am unable to increase happiness, neither I am able to decrease distress. And on top of that, what happens? Vindeta bhuya tata eva dukham. And on top of that, the distress only increases. Right? So I have a disease, I have an itch. Neither the itch goes away, nor it is cured. But on the other hand, it just increases. It just flares up. Vindeta bhuya tata eva dukham yadatrayuktam Bhagavan Vadena Yad Antrayuktam. So he's saying, give me some yukti, give me some kind of a method. Yukti in Sanskrit means some kind of a solution. You know, give some kind of an idea, a suggestion, a solution. Yadatra yuktam Bhagavan vadena. So he's also glorifying Maitreya Rishi as Bhagavan, or a very great powerful personality. Please explain. And Srila Prabhupada gives the fire example in the purport, that in the material world we may have our own plans, but any time our plans, they fail. Just like a samsara dava. So it is like a forest fire, and we have to have a technique of putting out this fire. So he's asking, what is the way by which we can overcome this distress and obtain happiness? So he's asking a question, and through this question his humility is being revealed. And then in the next, he's glorifying Maitreya Rishi and explaining how Maitreya Rishi is a great transcendentalist, a great spiritual authority, engaged in mitigating the distress of people of this world. Right. So two things are required. First of all, the person must have sufficient knowledge. And number two, he must be compassionate enough to also come and help us with that knowledge. That somebody is a doctor is not sufficient, but the doctor also must feel the need and the compassion to come and cure the patient. So he is glorifying Maitreya in both these ways. That is not only an elevated transcendentalist in terms of the knowledge and the realization, but he is also compassionate in traveling and preaching and mitigating the distresses of the conditioned souls. And he is saying, Janasya Krishnat Vimukhasya Daivat Adharma Shilasya Sudukhitasya Anugrahaye Vacharanti Nunam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanasya. So he's saying that the people of this world are suffering because Janasya Krishnat Vimukhasya, because they have become Vimukha, or they have forgotten Krishna. Adharma Shilasya, and this is Adharma, and they have embraced a life of Adharma. They are embracing a life which is anti-Krishna. And therefore, any life which is devoid of Krishna consciousness is su-dukkhitasya. Not only dukkha, but su-dukkha. Su-dukkha means filled with great pain. Filled with great pain and distress and misery. As in 11th canto, Pingala also prays that Santam Samipe Ramanam Prati Pravam Vittat Pradam Dukh Imam Vaya Akamatam Dukh Bhaya Adi Shokam Moham Pradam Tucham Anam Bhaje. That as soon as one becomes totally cut off from Krishna, Santam Samipe, she says, Krishna, he is so close to us as Paramatma. Ramanam Pratik Pradam, he can practically give all pleasures to us. Vitta Pradam, whatever we need, we can get from Krishna. Nityam, eternally, he is there as a nice friend. He is there waiting for us to look upon him and surrender to him and serve him. But Imam Vihaya, we give up Krishna. So Pingala is saying, Pingala the prostitute, she is saying that I am so unfortunate that I gave up Krishna for such a long period of time, trying to enjoy on my own, and the only thing I obtained was these five things. Akama, Dukkha, Bhaya, Shoka, Moha. This is the Pancha Tattva you get if you leave Krishna. Like if one cuts off his contact with the Lord in the heart. Akama, Dham. That means unfulfilled desires. We try to fulfill desires separate from Krishna, but at the end of the day, it will still be akamata. We won't be able to fulfill our desires. Dukkha will give us distress, higher. It will give us fear, adi shoka, lamentation, and moha, illusion. Tuchyam aham, because I was trying to enjoy tuchya sukha, insignificant pleasures. Bhaje abhya, so she says, how I am very less intelligent or foolish, right? So in this way, Davanti Brahman also says, Arthasya sadhane siddhe utkarshe rakshane deye kamop bhoga ayashan krasan chinta matir gina. That as soon as one leaves Krishna and engrosses himself in the money making business and simply concentrates on economic development and forgets about Krishna consciousness, then that same money, that artha, will at all stages give us only trasana, chinta, anxiety and great distress. Arthasya sadhane, while earning the money, siddhe, after having earned the money, utkarshe, while trying to increase the bank balance, rakshane, while trying to protect, kamopobhoga, while trying to use that money for buying sense objects. So all stages we only go through anxiety, suffering and distress. And therefore, here Maitreya Rishi is explaining very wonderfully. Janasya Krishna Vimukhasya Daiva, Bhagavan says, Vimukhwe, one who have become Vimukh or who are looking the other way from Krishna, who are not facing Krishna. Adharma Shilasya Sudukhitasya. So Sudukhitasya, how much of suffering one has to go through. And therefore, as Srila Prabhupada gives an example, we are just like someone caught in a quicksand. If someone is caught in a quicksand, it is not possible to come out by one's own effort. So if someone lends a hand from outside and his feet are on firm ground, then he can actually pull us out. Right? And as it is described in the Narasimha Stotra, Samsara Vriksha Agabija Mananta Karma Shakha Yutam Karana Patra Mananga Pushpam Arubhya Dukkha Palinam Patitam Dayalo Lakshmi Nasinga Mamade Karavalamba. So this verse, series of verses glorifying Lakshmi Narasimha written by Shankaracharya, called Lakshmi Narasimha Stotra, and this is explaining why is it that we are all having this dukkha, adharma shilasya sudukhitasya, why we are experiencing this dukkha, what is the cause of this dukkha? Samsara vriksha, this samsara, this material existence is compared to a vriksha or a tree, and this tree is actually sprouting from adha bija, the seed of sin. Ananta karma shakha yutam karna patram ananga pushpam. And there are nice flowers of Cupid, and there are so many branches of various sense objects, and all of these appear very attractive. So it says that attracted by this tree, my dear Lord, I climbed upon this tree. And seeing the beauty of these flowers, I was only thinking how tasty the fruits will be. So I plucked these fruits and I bit into one of those fruits. And it was so bitter. It was so bitter, it was so horrible. So I plucked another fruit. It was also bitter. Another fruit. Every fruit on this tree was bitter. Why? Because it's all coming from the same seed. The tree is one, so naturally all the fruits will be of the same taste. You can't find an apple on a mango tree, it's not possible. Therefore the samsara vriksha has sprung out of the seed of sin. Every fruit will be ultimately bitter. That means every endeavor within this material world, at the platform of matter, in material consciousness, will only end in utter misery. And therefore so-called philanthropists and other materialists are printing books trying to give so that you are actually plucking fruits from the lower branches. go up on higher branches, there is hope. How to pluck the fruits in the right way, or which part of the tree you should pluck the branch, or you should pluck the fruits from. And these are the different success formulas which you find all over the place. 20 ways to success, 10 ways of being happy. All these are simply trying to convince us that you don't pluck the fruit from this branch, go to that branch, go to that branch, go to a much higher branch. Right? So therefore, if we know that the seed itself is the cause of that distress, then one understands it perfectly. And that is what is described here. Adharma shilasya. So he says, arubhyadukha phalinam patitam dayalo. And as far as I am concerned, I am experiencing so much of misery tasting these fruits. Only you can save me, my dear Lord. No one can save me. That means only Krishna intervenes and Krishna takes away all of these reactions and then fills our heart with His love, and then it is possible. So therefore Lord Chaitanya is my prema kumartho maha. That artha, not this material artha, not this money and not economic development, but the wealth of Krishna consciousness. Right? Samaraja Lakshmi, the great kingdom of love of God. And then one can really experience pleasure. And so in this difficult situation, when we are sudukhitasya, we need help. We need help from someone who is strong and qualified. Right? Srila Prabhupada gives the example that many times in India, like in villages when they are driving cycles and they want to drive fast. So there is a tractor and a trailer and a boy going on cycle catches on to the back side of the tractor trailer, you know. And then he doesn't do much, he just goes along for some time and his speed increases. So Srila Prabhupada explains that even if one may be slow, but if he gets connected to someone who is highly empowered, then one's speed in devotional service also increases. One is able to get out of this quicksand, this quagmire, this miserable condition which is catching us. And therefore, the spiritual master is many times, or guru or a great Vaishnava is compared to a very powerful magnet. And all the various desires within our heart are compared to iron filings. So these iron filings are all in different directions. They are on this array. But when they come under the influence of a very powerful spiritual personality's desires, then under that influence, all of these filings also become unidirectional. That means, under the influence of a great soul's desire, like Srila Prabhupada's desires, so many devotees, they became focused. And their heart's desire became one, just to please Srila Prabhupada, just to please Krishna. And in this way, one develops great strength and power to overcome all of these weaknesses and get uplifted from the fallen condition. And so, if a lotus is directly under the influence of sunshine, but the lotus does not have any water underneath. Just imagine a lotus in a lake with no water. The sunshine will burn up the lotus. Whereas the same lotus is within water, then that same sunshine will make the lotus flourish. So sunshine, Krishna Surya Sama, is common factor. Krishna's mercy is available to one and all. But when we have the shelter of the mercy of a great soul, which is just like that water, then our devotional service blossoms. Whereas, if that mercy is not available, if we do not have proper shelter of a great devotee, then our progress is not so satisfactory. And there are chances of getting burned also. Just like that lotus, make it burned. Under the direct influence of sunshine, without any water underneath. Therefore, Vidura is demonstrating the perfect example of how someone caught up in this material existence can still try to overcome the influences, not by one's independent efforts, but by taking shelter of great personalities. If someone as great, as powerful, influential, managerially very powerful, politically very influential, and as far as spiritually perfected soul, Achyuta Bhava Siddha, but still he is very humbly coming and approaching Maitreya for shelter and wants to hear from him and serve him by submissively hearing. And so he is glorifying Maitreya Rishi by saying, Anugrahaye vacharanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardanasya Anugrahaye vacharanti nunam. Oh my dear Maitreya Rishi, great souls, great personalities as your servant, out of great compassion, anugraha padarshit karne hetu, that means to actually bestow compassion, anugraha, mercy. Charanti, you travel. Bhutani bhavyani janardanasya. Right. So, bhutani bhavyani. Bhavyani means great philanthropic souls. Bhavya. So in Sanskrit, the word bhavya means vishal. Bhavya mahal means a very huge palace. Right? Or many times when it's a big feast, they say bhavya bhandara. Like a big feast. So something large is called bhavya. Right? And so bhavan also means a large house is called bhavan. You must have heard the word bhavan, like Anand Bhavan, Krishna Bhavan. So many people keep the house names as bhavan because bhavan means a large residence. Right? So bhavyani technically means a large hearted, you know, a broad minded person. Bhavyani. So bhutani bhavyani janardanasya. So bhutani means great philanthropic souls. Very great philanthropic souls. Philanthropy means one who does good for others. And only one who has a large heart does good for others. He's looking beyond himself. Right? He's considering others' distress to be his own distress. Now, who is technically a bona fide philanthropist? That comes in the last word of this shloka. Janardanasya. Janardanasya. Krishna is Janardan, who can destroy the distresses of all the conditioned soul. And therefore, any philanthropic activity you perform in connection with Krishna, because you have understood Krishna, whatever you do for others will always be good. That is real philanthropy. That means, if we try to do good for anyone in any way, but without the Krishna connection, then we cannot really help. You are really a person standing on firm ground and putting the hand inside, and therefore you can actually pick out people who are caught in the quicksand. All other philanthropists are themselves in the rut, themselves in the quicksand, and they are having placards saying, please give your hand, please give your hand, and we will help you. But they only pull them closer to themselves within the quicksand. There is no way they are going to get out. Therefore, only when there is the Krishna connection, there is hope of coming out. And hence, Srila Prabhupada often would explain that this is the real welfare work, real welfare activity. Like I was mentioning in my Bhagavatam class yesterday, that there were some people criticizing Srila Prabhupada. And he was telling, this man came and he was arguing with Srila Prabhupada, saying that, I see all of your disciples just going to airports and all the places with the books, distributing all these books all the time. You're only distributing these books, reading these books. I think all of you are a bunch of bookworms. And Srila Prabhupada just looked at him, smiled and said, if you don't read these books, you will become stool books. So, I think that better that you understand these books, understand this language, what is the message, and then you are protected from future disaster. Right? And so Srila Prabhupada also, many times, was criticizing that as far as opening hospitals, distributing food, clothing, all these other things, that is one of the government's function. The king, it's the king's administrative duties is to distribute all of these things. That's part of the government's function, to open hospitals, to open schools, to open colleges, and distribute all of these other things. So, many times people come and criticize ISKCON, that you are only discussing Bhagavatam, you are only discussing Hare Krishna, glorifying Krishna, worshipping deities. I mean, why are you not doing social welfare work? Why are you not doing something philanthropic? And generally, this can be answered in various ways, but many times Srila Prabhupada will also answer in this way, that everyone cannot do everything. Right? If you go to a medical store and say that, why are you not distributing samosas here? He said, this is medical store, this is a pharmacy shop. And someone goes to a hotel and says, why can't you repair my automobiles? So that's supposed to be a different place. So if there is a school, they are supposed to impart education. And if somebody becomes sick, he can't get admitted in school, so he has to go to hospital. So the parents can't take a morcha to the school saying, what kind of a school is this? My child becomes sick. And there is no facility in the school to take care of sick people here. So the principal will say, this is a school, sir. Here we teach. And if somebody becomes sick, there is another institution called hospital. And there you get treated and then come back and then take education. That means no one in this world actually can provide all services. Every institution or individual provides a certain specific service to solve a specific problem. And therefore, if someone accuses Hare Krishna movement or ISKCON that you're not doing social service, you're not doing any service, so we should know we are dealing with a certain product. And that is Bhavaushadadri Kshatra Manondhirama. We are dealing with medicine. And our medicine is Eneshi Aushadhi Maya Nasivarunagi Harinama Mahamantra Lampunimadi. We are dealing with Hare Krishna Mahamantra and Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the medicine for counteracting the disease of material existence. Vyamoha Pashamaushadhi Munimanovati Pradhaushadham, as Mukunda Mahasthotra, King Kulashekhar is glorifying, we are dealing with this medicine. So, which medical store in the world provides all facilities, provides everything and anything? No, everything is specific. Therefore, in Hare Krishna movement, we are only catering to this medicine. But the beauty of this medicine is, as soon as you take this medicine, this is the real antibiotic. No more taking bodies. You do not have to take bodies again, so no more suffering. And therefore, with this medicine, automatically all sufferings are eradicated for all time to come. And hence, anyone who distributes this ultimate, the strongest, most potent medicine free is definitely the most large-hearted person. Is definitely such a big, great philanthropist. And so here is described, Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanasya. Such great souls who are large-hearted because of their connection with Krishna. That means because Maitreya Rishi is a great devotee, he is the right person who can actually solve the problems. He is the person who can give solution to the problems of repeated birth and death. And because he is a devotee, and because he has the solution, he is also compassionate. Anugraha eva charanti nunam Great souls as yourself travel all over the world to distribute this knowledge. And so, I am here sitting right in front of you, another patient, hoping to recover. And so next in text 4, he is explaining, therefore, since I am fallen, I am sick, and you are great, and you are like a doctor, you have the medicine. So let us have the transaction, and I am expecting that you help me out. I am looking forward to something from you, because you are a qualified doctor and a qualified patient. And so he says, how can you help me? By uplifting me, by elevating me from my fallen condition. So he says, tatsadvarya adishavatmashamna samrathito yena bhagavan pumsa khudisthito yachati bhakti pute jnanam satatvadhigamam puranam. So he's saying, tat sadhu varya, O best of sadhus, O great sadhus, tat sadhu varya, adisha. So how can you help me? How is the medicine administered? By sound vibration. Adisha. Adesh dijiye mujhe. That means, give me adesh. Adesh means, give me instruction. Right? So he's saying, tat sadhu varya disha vartma shamna. Vartma means path. Mama vartman vartante. So the path. So you have to show me, by instructing, you have to actually show me, there is a fog of illusion. There is a complete fog of dense fog and smog of illusion. And therefore, I am not able to see through the right path. So you have to show me the right way. With the lamplight of knowledge, this form has to be dissipated. And then I can walk on that right path. And that path is the path of sham, auspiciousness. Right. And which is this path? It is the path of auspiciousness. What is that auspicious path? Samradhito bhagavan yena pumsan. Right, that the instructions on bhakti, so that the Lord will be pleased, samradhito, perfectly served and pleased, Bhagavan. So, sham, or real auspiciousness, is when one pleases Krishna. So, samradhito, samyak aradhito. How Krishna can be perfectly worshipped? Give me instructions on that path. That means give me instructions on bhakti. That means speak about Krishna bhakti. And yena pumsan. Right. Knowledge about Krishna and how Krishna can be worshipped. Hridisthito yachati bhakti pute. And hridisthito, this Bhagavan, where is he situated? He is situated right in the heart as Chaitanya Guru, Kṛdhisthito. And bhakti pute, by following this process of bhakti, I can become purified. And when the heart is purified, then jnanam satatvadhigamam puranam, that knowledge will be revealed from within by the Supreme Lord Himself. And that knowledge will be the conclusion of Tatva Adhigamam Puranam. Agama means Vedas. Puranam Agama means the ancient Vedic literatures. And Tatva means they will be exactly the conclusions. The Tatva of all the Vedic literatures is understanding Krishna. So not only I will have theoretical, I just don't want you to tell me something theoretical, but I want you to explain the process of realizing Bhagavan. Samradhito, let me worship Bhagavan let my aradhana of Bhagwan, let my worship of Bhagwan be in such a way that it is not so that I just become a scholar. It is not that I learn something just theoretical. It is not that I just spend my whole life speaking about Krishna, but I actually worship Krishna in such a way, in such a mood, that I realize Krishna. I just don't want to hear and know Krishna theoretically, but I want to realize Krishna. That's what he's saying. Kṛtisthito yacchati bhakti pote. So Krishna is situated in the heart, and although I may practice, I may worship Krishna, but the catch here is that Lord who is situated within the heart, he awards bhakti, yacchati. Yacchati means will be pleased and reveal or award, right? So bhakti is not something which is earned, but which is awarded. So you give me all those things and I will try to please him, but explain the things by which I can actually please him, and then Krishna reveals his knowledge to me from within the heart. Kṛtisthito yacchati bhakti pote. So by bhakti, gradual purification takes place, and then ultimately pure devotion is revealed to me. Jnanam. So this is not just theoretical jnanam, but the actual realization which is revealed by the Lord from within. So Śrīla Prabhupāda explains in the purport that when the Lord is satisfied with the devotee's progress in devotional service, he actually imparts the knowledge as it is for Arjuna and Uddhava and all of these great souls. So Prabhupāda is mentioning three disadvantages of other transcendentalists like Karmis, Jnanis, Yogis. How these three or these different categories of transcendentalists apart from bhaktas are disadvantaged because of this factor of yachati bhakti puja. Number one, Prabhupada says that Karmis, Jnanis, Yogis not able to satisfy the Lord by transcendental bhakti. So number one, they are not able to satisfy Krishna. Number two, they do not even believe in such kind of service. And number three, and therefore they cannot expect any direct cooperation from the Lord. Right? Therefore, in fact it will go this way, that they don't have faith, they don't believe, and so they don't try to satisfy. And therefore, the Lord also does not help. Right? And why Śrīla Prabhupāda says? Because many times most of these transcendentalists consider the soul and super soul to be the same, and they feel that, you know, I am the one who is also going through the process, and ultimately I will realize I am that one. So there is no distinction. But here he is saying, Kṛtisthito yacchati. So that Bhagavan. In the second line he is saying that Samradhito Bhagavan. That Bhagavan is situated here in the heart. Pratisthito. It is so clear that the Lord is there within the heart. So the soul and super soul are not one. And therefore, because of such miscalculation by non-devotees, makes them unfit to receive any direction from within. Right? And therefore, bahunam janmanam ante. So advantage of devotional services, it is direct. Lord is directly pleased by devotional service, and Vidura is therefore asking for this process. Very clear that many times one may even take shelter of some process of bhakti, like many Mayavadis also do, but that is for the purpose of ultimately realizing that I am one with the Lord. So without any duplicity of kilika, without any hidden motive, I just want to please the Lord, so when the Lord is pleased, He reveals Himself unto me. So therefore, only you can help me, because you are so great, elevated, transcendentalist, and you are always compassionate, traveling around, uplifting people, and hence you should uplift me also, help me also, because I am in this situation. And just like conditioned souls always trying for happiness, but they only face distress, and the more they try, the distress only increases. There is no way out of this situation. So therefore, if there is a fire, then you need someone to come with gallons of water to put out that fire. So please, help me in this situation. So in these three verses, he's establishing the dynamics of transcendental instructions from a guru to a disciple, from an elevated spiritual authority to someone who is dependent. And then, with this etiquette being established, and with this mood, the proper mood being established, then he goes ahead with his other questions. You know, in a series of verses starting from text 5 onwards. So, thank you very much. I think today we'll just stop at this juncture, and maybe next time. Tomorrow also, I was not supposed to come, but now I'm free tomorrow. So they gave me 4 days. So we'll continue tomorrow at the same time. So thank you. So our preaching is not only just, our preaching should be just like a gardener's mood while gardening. He is concerned with sowing the seeds and cultivating that plant. And he may not even see through the entire lifetime. In his lifetime, he will not even see the fruits. You know? The tree may start giving fruits after 20 years. And the gardener may survive only for another 5 years. But still, the mood in which he does that is that at least the future generations will get the benefit. So therefore, if we are always thinking that whatever I preach, I should see the result, I should taste the fruit myself in front of me in my lifetime, then many times we may become disillusioned, disappointed, disheartened, and may feel that the fruits are not coming, the results are not coming. Like, whereas if we are in this mood, then let us do welfare activity for others. Etavat janma saphalyam dehinam iha deheshu pranair arthair dhyavacha shriyam acharanam sadam. Krishna is taking his cowherd boys for a stroll through the forest of Vrindavan, and he is showing them the trees of Braja and glorifying these trees. Pashya daitan mahabhatan parasaikantaji vata varashata pahimam sahanko varyanti. Just see these trees, my dear friends. Pashya daitan, they are mahabhatan, great souls. Why? Parasya ekanta jivita. They are living only for the sake of others. Parokkar karne hetu hi unka jivan samarpit. Only for the sake of doing parokkar. Just helping others. Serving others. And vata, varsha, atapa, himan. And they themselves are suffering the influence of cold, heat, snowfall, and all of these things, sahanto, themselves tolerating, varayanti, by protecting others who take their shelter. So my dear friends, these are the qualities one should develop. That's what Krishna is telling his cowherd boyfriends. And then he's saying, patra, pushpa, phala, chaya, mool, valkala, dhanuri, ganda, Vasmasthi, Tokmair, Kaman, Vitanvate. These are the 11 or 12 things one gets from trees. And the trees never enjoy any of these things themselves. Patra, Pushpa, Phala, fruits, Chaya, Sheen, Moola, roots, Valkala, Vana, Daruri, the wood. And Gandha is nice scents. Niryasa, Niryasa kind of twigs. Vasmasthi is the charcoal which you get after burning the wood. Tokmai. Tokmai is soft leaves. You know, use leaf blades and all those other things for eating. Kaman within Vade. They are simply engrossed in satisfying desires of others. They are protecting others from suffering, themselves going through suffering, and still giving everything for others. Etavat this is Janma Safalya. Because the posterior age is related to failure in life, right? As I mentioned, at the end of the day, everything is finished. That means their life is a failure. So Krishna is now mentioning in this verse, what is success? If someone says, okay, you Hare Krishnas, you have the formula for success, what is your success formula? Krishna is saying, etavat janma safalyam devinam ihadeshu pranair arthair dhyavacham shreya acharanam sada. And this verse quoted by Lord Chaitanya also, by describing as to how the devotees who are connected with the Sankirtan mission, they should have a mood. The janma safalyam, real success, safalta in one's life or one's birth is, the human birth becomes successful when dehinam iha dehishu, when we look upon all the souls within this material world with a mood of compassion and trying to help them. Shreya. Shreya means do good for others. With what? Prane. With one's life. Arthay. With one's wealth. Dhyā. With one's intelligence. And vācha. With one's speech. We try to help others. We try to serve others. Uplift them. Shreya ācharanam sada. This is real benefit activity. And this is the success of one's janma, of one's birth. And these series of verses Krishna speaking just before the episode of Krishna sending all the cowherd boys to beg from the brahmanas, brahmanas thali. So the brahmanas are performing yajna and Krishna Bhagavan's friends are coming to ask them, please give us something, you know, from the yajna, and they refuse. So just before that chapter, these are the last few verses, and Krishna specifically showing them the glory of these trees and making a point. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, the point Krishna is making is, my dear friends, better to be selfless trees than be selfish brahmanas. This is the punch he wants to make before starting the next episode, because the cowherd boys are a little bewildered to see the behavior of these brahmanas. They are supposed to be brahmanas and Krishna is asking and you are not giving. Better to be, there is a lesson for this. He says, better to be selfless trees. And what kind of birth is ugly birth? It is not considered a high birth. Brahmana is supposed to be high birth. So who cares for birth? So Krishna is making a statement, I don't care a damn for your birth. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also accepted that same thing. But the mood which you accept. Therefore he says that better be selfless tree than be a selfish brahmana. With all your mantras and knowledge and this and that, but if you are not in the mood of service and helping others, then what is the point? So that's the whole idea. Okay? So I'm very grateful.